is, I believe, our seventh shir in the Lights of Musar shir series. That's what we named it. The Oros HaMusar, that's what they're sometimes called, the different luminaries, great Musar personalities who gave us great insight into Musar and Agoda. Once again, we are learning from the writings of Rabbi Yeruchim Levavitz. I shouldn't say the writings of Rabbi Yeruchim Levavitz. These are the Shmuzin, the Musar sermons of Rabbi Yeruchim Levavitz. Actually, these were written by my Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Zelig Epstein. When he was a bacher in the yeshiva, he used to type them up. And after a while, Rabbi Yeruchim actually hired him to do so. He liked the way that he captured the idea of the various shmuzin. So fascinatingly, Rabbi Yeruchim, these were in 1934 and 1935. We have no fewer than 10, I believe it's 10 mamarim that were said over Pesach. The first night, the first day, the next night, the next day, on a Shabbos Chol HaMoed, the last days of Yom Tov, Motzoi Yom Tov, a lot of Musar that was imparted to them over Yom Tov. It's an amazing thing. And what I'd like to do today is Maimer Lamed Ches, which is on page Kufyud Beis, if you have a handout. And what I'm going to try to do, a little bit ambitious, but what I'm going to try to do is really summarize for you a theme that Rav Yeruchim held very strongly of and held needs a lot of elaboration and a lot of, so to speak, digestion. We have to think about it and work on it. Let me summarize it first. This theme is about Pesach. It's about the Pesach Seder, but it's really about all of Musar. In fact, you could argue that it's the raison d'etat of Musar. Oversimplified, it's that Chachma doesn't do it for man. Wisdom alone, Torah wisdom alone, doesn't do it. I'm elaborating a little bit, but I believe this is what he means. Since man is a spiritual, intellectual side, but he also has a physical side, a guf, a material side, the latter is not affected, not fully, maybe not even partially, by chachma, and needs action, needs activity, needs maaseh ha-mitzvos. In the last piece that we learned last week, he spoke about how all of the exercises of eliminating the chametz are exercises in eliminating the yetzer hara, checking every nook and cranny, using a candle, only looking at a limited space at a time, being very thorough. When you're working on the matzah, you can't stop. If you stop, it can become chametz, and so on and so forth. That's really one example of the theme that he talks about for quite a while. The truth is, he had spoken about it before in some of the Ma'amarim leading up to this. He spoke about an irony about, in his terminology, pnimi and chitzon, the core of something and the outer shell. We generally think that you go through the process of getting through the outer shell so you can get to the core. He shows, I'm really simplifying a lot of what, I'm summarizing a lot of what he says in a lot of words, but putting it into a few words, whereas it looks like getting past the external and getting to the internal is the goal, it's actually the process that's more important. Chachma is pnimi, is the core of everything. But for man, the process of getting to chachma is actually as important or more important. That was an idea that he developed. He showed it from teachings of Chazal. So this is a further development of that. He's going to talk about how ma'aseh ha-mitzvahs, the actions, are essential, and chachma alone. Bear in mind, he's talking in a yeshiva where chachma is the emphasis all day, and speaking to people who became great chacham. He was a great chacham himself. Rav Zelig Epstein, my Rosh Yeshiva, felt that Rabbi Yeruchim was his real Rebbe. He learned of the many greats in Europe. He felt that Rabbi Yeruchim was his real Rebbe. He spoke about him in terms that I did not hear him use for anyone else. Talking about a great chacham, but part of chachma is to know what really works, not theoretical science, not theoretical Torah, but to understand what really works. So, to begin, the beginning of Maamar Lamed Ches on page Kufyud Beis, as you can see, it's dated Aleph Techag HaPesach. This was said on the first day of Pesach, and the title they gave it is Hachinuch V'Hahakara B'Derech Hispalus Haguf, training, education, and coming to, he uses the word Hakara. What he means is to really grasp something. Not just knowing it intellectually as some remote concept, but really grasping it. That's what he means by hakara, recognition, by way of affecting the body. Hispalus, I'll go, hispalus is a word we use in yeshivis a lot. Hispalus, to be poel, is to do. to be mispoil is to have something happen to you. In proper usage, I was mamish mispoil from Rabbi Steinberg's shir today. Okay, that would be like, I'm mamish chapte spoilus. Okay, I try to educate people on the proper usage of yeshivis. You chapte spoilus from that schmooze? Okay, good. No, I chapte schmooze, actually. Okay, or a snooze. Anyway, so hispoilus means to be affected. Because in Hebrew, poel means to do, hit poel means something happening to you. So, let's see what he means. Bechol miktzoos ha-chochma. In all areas of wisdom, he means secular too. Yeshnam klolam mikubolam muskamim. There are principles that are accepted and agreed upon. Uladugma, for example, b'chachmas hacheshbon. In mathematics, yeshnam klolam b'yesodos. There are rules and foundational theorem. Shalpia mechashim kol hacheshbonos. That based on them, we calculate all of the calculations. Upostrim kol hashelos hamasuvachos. And we find the solution to all the difficult problems. You use this technique, you use this method, you use this theorem. V'af shelo kol echad yovinis ha-hanochos, shal yodam nis amsu v'nis kablu ha-klolam. And even though not everybody really understands the premises, that by way of them, these rules have been verified. You know, why is it? I don't know that A squared plus B squared equals C, you know. Why it is that way, not everybody necessarily knows. But, because nevertheless, mekeven shenis ashra yidei hachachamim b'chachmazu, nevertheless, since they've been approved by the wise men in this area of wisdom, kol echad somech al zeh. So everyone relies on it. Umotze mevukosho al pim, and he finds what he's after based on those rules. I don't understand exactly why, but that's what's used, and that's how we get the solution. The truth is that there's some things in geometry I never understood when I studied geometry, but I understood them when I learned Tosfos. Because the Rishonim, they don't use these just rules. They show you. Look, if you would take that and you would cut it in half and flip it over, you would see, oh, so the circle equals a triangle. You know, so I never understood why it works until I learned, because they were speaking the older terminology, which actually shows why it works a little more. But today it's just this formula, that formula. And so on. So sometimes we don't know why it works, but everybody says it works. So all the mathematicians say it works, so that's how you do the math. Ukumokain nomar binogel dvareno. This is a sort of a strong statement. He says, and similarly, we will say with regard to our words, meaning what I'm going to talk to you about today. Yesod vareno heim klolim. The foundation of what we're saying, the basic rule I'm going to say here, it's a klal. It's a real rule. Hazocha lahavina matov. A person who is zocha to understand this rule, these rules, wonderful. Matov, how nice. Bimlav, and if not, yisnaheg al pi horoas klolam elu gam miblisha yavinam. He should conduct himself on top of kufya gimel. Now, he should be misnaheg. Right, a minhag is a practice. To be misnaheg is to conduct oneself in Israel. A nahag is a driver. Mitnaheg is to drive oneself, to conduct oneself. So yisnaheg, he should conduct himself al pi ha-ra'as klalam elu, based on the guidance of these rules, gam mibli she-yavinam, even without his understanding them. V'yiskabel mezeh hatachos adarush, and he will receive from this the sought-after goal. Okay, so the rules in every science, but he's saying this is a rule in Chochmas HaTorah. Pardon me. If you know why it's so good, if you don't, just trust me. Just as a footnote, the credibility that the Mashgiach had to have had to be able to say a thing like that. The whole approach in, you know, Gemara learning is, if you can prove to me that this is a right svara, it's correct, good. Otherwise, I'm going to prove the other way. You know, show me. Nothing is just trust me. This is the pshat in the Gemara. You fight it out. In fact, I'm just as an aside, I'm recalling at the Shiva when Rav Zelig Epstein was nifter of Kalman Epstein, his son, my Rebbe for many years, was talking, and he told the story that Rav Leib Malin was the Rosh Shiva of Beis HaTalmud, a very great Rosh Shiva in London, who was also a student of the Mashgiach, Ruchem. In fact, he wrote some of the other Mamarim. So he said, he was talking once in the Epstein's kitchen. He said, I didn't have Chavnishkahat Meira. I wasn't afraid to argue with the Briska Rav, which is like, I wasn't afraid to argue with the Briska Rav, the Mashgiach, with the Mashgiach. I couldn't argue. It's like they had a certain awe and reverence that for some people to say this is a rule and don't question it, just go with it if you understand it good. It's quite something.
Is this saying that by our accepting that and reading it and inculcating it into our lives that we then come to understand and believe it? Or it's just saying that's maybe, but that's irrelevant?
I think, he's talking to younger people. I think he means that they will see this, but he's saying, trust me, conduct yourself this way even before you've confirmed it in your own life experience, because I'm not saying this is like a possible shot or an approach to something. I'm saying this is the way it must be. He repeats it a number of times in the coming mamarim. They look like he's not talking about the same thing, but when you really study it, you see it's all about the same thing. And later he says, anybody who doesn't understand this is an Ama Aretz. I think he says it in this mamar, is an Ama Aretz in Chinuch. Doesn't understand training, doesn't understand it. He says it in strong terms a few times. Let me summarize what he is going to say. And I started to say it before, but that is that there are things that affect us in the service of Hashem and having Yiras Hashem and Avas Hashem and Amuna and so on that are not based on Chachma principles. They're not based on wisdom. They're not based on understanding. They're based on experience and action. And if one thinks that he can get everything just from Chachma, just from armchair philosophy, even good Chachma, Torah Chachma, without the actions, it does not work. He doesn't really get into the reasons why, but he alludes to it a little bit. I believe it's because man was made up of one piece that is Chachma, but there's another piece of man that some sort of would say is animal, is lower, is this worldly, whatever word you want to use, but that other side to man needs other techniques to get it aligned with Chachma. And he's going to talk about that at the Pesach Seder. That's really what it's all about. And this is a fascinating thing. He has an entirely different approach from some of the other thinkers. For example, I just presented this in one of my classes recently. We say in the Haggadah, V'afilu kulanu chachamim, kulanu nevonim, kulanu yodim asatorah, kulanu zakenim, kulanu yodim asatorah. Even if we're all wise, we're all elders, we all know the Torah, it's a mitzvah for us to tell the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the more you do, the better. A number of commentators ask, why in fact? Granted, many people aren't so knowledgeable, haven't learned the whole Torah. It doesn't hurt for them to learn those things at the Seder. I see a new commentary, a new insight, now I understand this. Many of us have what to learn at the Seder. But what about if you really are a Chacham, a Yodea, a Torah, a Zaken? What if he already learned everything having to do with Yetzias Mitzrayim 100 times, and he knows Maseches Pesachim by heart, and he wrote 5 volumes of Nava Leon? What if the person really is a Chacham? Why indeed do we have that principle? Even if he's the biggest Chacham in the world, he should do it, and then the very next story in the Haggadah is that the Chachamim were staying up at night and doing this. Why in fact? Last year in Shul, Haggadah I was working from is the Netziv's Haggadah, Rosh Yeshiva, the Valajan Yeshiva at its end, or Natali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, known as Hirsch Leib, Tzvi Yehuda's Hirsch Leib, or Hirsch Leib, the great Rosh Yeshiva. He in his Haggadah asks this question, why so? And he ends up saying that it's a little bit like a chok, meaning even when there's a reason for a mitzvah, the reason why the mitzvah was given, but once the mitzvah is given, it's part of a system that's permanent. He says it's like a limb in the body. If God created man's body with different organs and different things that do different functions, let's say there's an organ that for a certain person isn't so functional. I don't know, it's using the digestion of X and he doesn't eat X. Doesn't mean you cut it out. I'm not a doctor, this is a lousy muscle, but this is basically what he says. Once it's part of the system, even if the reason doesn't seem to be there anymore, you still need it there. It's part of the system. Says the Netziv, yeah, you can give different reasons why we have this mitzvah, but once it's a mitzvah, even if the reasons don't apply, we have to do it. And that's why those great chacham who knew it all already stayed up late the night of the Seder telling the story. That's the Netziv's approach. Rabbi Yerucham, and this is maybe classical Musar approach, says no. In fact, they're lishitasim. They're consistent with their views on the Seder in general. The Netziv writes earlier, But the idea of the Seder is to inculcate emuna, faith. We have to know where we came from. I mean, many, I think many of us think of it this way, and it's certainly a valid view. Just the Mashgiach is going to say it's more than that. But we view the Seder as, you should realize where we came from. We were a nation enslaved in Egypt, and God took us out with these miracles, and it's not every day that Hashem does miracles, and that's why we have to remember it, and so on and so forth, and we have to make a big deal of it so we remember this is our history and our heritage, and that ultimately evil is punished and good is rewarded. All true. Says the Mashgiach, if that were so, the Seder would look very different. If that's all it were about, says Rabbi Rucham Levovitz, the Seder wouldn't look the way it does. When we say, Chayav Adam Liros is Atzmo Ke'ilu Hu Yatzam in Mitzrayim, man is obligated to see himself as if he left. Mashgiach says, why is that? If the whole idea is just to remember what happened many years ago, so tell the story of what happened many years ago. What is it about seeing himself as if he left? What is it about leaning, exercising freedom, and it's the freedom of the royalty of a free man? I'm supposed to feel like the Jew who left Mitzrayim. The Yemenites have a custom to throw a sack over their shoulder and walk around. You relive the exodus from Egypt. Why? If the whole idea is just to know what happened, you can know what happened many years ago without reliving it.
That's putting into the action. That's himself.
Right, so that's what he says. He says it's not about emunah. For emunah, it would suffice to know what was. What he's really going to say is it's to create a deep sense of gratitude, of hakaras hatov, to feel redeemed. If I'm drowning and somebody pulls me out at the last second, then I feel gratitude. Much more than if I know that my ancestor, many years, you know, it's a feeling, and feeling things don't work. Doesn't work the same way as thinking. It's not chachma, which really, by the way, is what all of Musar is about. What is Musar? It's that it's not enough just to know things. We have to feel them and experience them deeply. In fact, many pages later, he talks about photography, portraits. And he quotes his Rebbe, Reb Simcha Zissel Ziv, the altar of Kelm, whom he only got to know a little bit, and then he passed away, but he was very affected by him. The altar of Kelm says that he heard from Reb Yisrael Salanter that the chachma of photography was introduced in the world to make people appreciate what a vivid image does. You can know somebody and know something, and so, but then if you're looking at it, and it's live in front of you, it totally changes the picture. And he said, if it's that way for things that we know of, I know this person, I was just talking to him yesterday, now I see the picture. Wow, it's like he's standing here. How much more so do we need imagery and to make things real when it's things that we never saw? I wasn't at the Exodus from Egypt in a real sense, right? So there we definitely need experience. We need Ma'asim, we need action. That's what he says. Just continuing a little bit inside, on Kufya Gimel, the first full paragraph there on the top. But Ma'amarim HaKodmim, in the previous Musar Shmuzin essays, Be'arnu, we explain Inyan Chitzonios Upnimios, the concept of externals and internals. In two words, he is referring to this whole complicated concept that I sort of outlined at the beginning, that even though we tend to think that you traverse the external to get to the core, which is the main idea, it's actually not so. It's actually the process of getting there is as important. The core is really the means, and the process of reaching it is the goal. Odd as it sounds. Uvakan.
What, I'm sorry, the core is the means.
Getting to the core.
And getting there is the goal, which is counterintuitive. He's really coming from a contradiction in the words of Chazal, and he shows you why they're both true. It's really a whole other piece, but let's say there's Chochma. God revealed his wisdom in the world. And man, if he really purifies himself and works at it, he can achieve that Chochma. We would think that all the steps you do to get yourself ready, to be able to get that chachma, that's a means, and achieving that wisdom is the goal. But he shows from teachings of Chazal, it's really the other way. It's those processes that man does to get there are actually what what's needed. That's the goal. And the core is there to create the incentive. So it's sort of like the other way.
Plus, you probably wouldn't appreciate it or internalize it well if you hadn't done the process. So that makes you ready to
receive it.
It's kind of like what we needed to do before we received the Torah.
Right. Everything that's cherished requires some sacrifice and some preparation. Yeah, true. So he says, Uvakan Navi O Dugma Mi Yesod. And now we're going to give another example of this. When we say Yesod, we mean a fundamental principle. It really means a foundation, a foundational principle. Anu Omrim Bozek Klal. He says, again, he emphasizes, I'm saying here a rule. V'tzarech Leidan, you have to know Shuhua Emes Lamito. It's the absolute truth. Okay? I believe that the Mashgiach believes in everything he said in all of these shmuzim, but if he says here, I'm telling you a rule, and you have to know it's the absolute truth, he's being very emphatic. So I'm going to summarize what he writes in the next two paragraphs. He quotes a teaching that basically the brach we make on seeing the new moon is like greeting Hashem. It's like being Makabel Pnei Shechina. And he quotes that abbreviation in the beginning is the Talmidei Rabbeinu Yonah. In the back of the Gemara Brachos, we have a commentary of one of the great Rishonim, Rabbeinu Yonah. So his students wrote down his commentaries. And he explains it in brief, and Mashgiach elaborates on it, that because when man sees the new moon, he's very taken. Like all of a sudden it appears, and sometimes it's here and sometimes it's there. And then it's like it disappeared, and all of a sudden it appears, it's there again, and it's... last time I paid attention, it was over here, and now it's over there. It's like it just pops up. And man is very moved by this, and it makes him like feel Hashem's presence. So it's like recognizing the divine presence. Mashgiach points out that it's really based on a mistake, so to speak. Because we know, that we can calculate and tell you exactly where the moon will appear. In fact, by the way, it's a contrast to the sun. The sun doesn't do this for man because it has a regular
rotation
cycle. It rises in the east and sets in the west, and therefore, when you look up and you say the sun appeared again, you know, it doesn't have the same effect. But the moon, it's here, it's there, it's everywhere. It pops up here and there, so man is very taken by that. Now, make no mistake, Chazal knew exactly how you calculate. In fact, it's all Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, considered one of the great wisdoms of the Jews. They always knew how to make these calculations. Our calendar is based on that. So we know where the moon is going to be, and we know when it's going to be there. We know 29 days and the hours and the Chalukim and so on. And our Shul David Chase has made the calendars for the next three centuries. I'll tell you exactly when the Molad is. I mean, it's a simple calculation, and if you study it more, you know where. So what do you mean it's like you saw Hashem? In other words, the feeling is as if it just popped up. But it didn't just pop up. And we know the science. So says the Mashgiach, here's the Yesod. It's that experience and Chachma are two different things. What something feels like has validity. Even if when you get into the, so to speak, science of it, it's not the same thing. There's nothing really surprising about the moon popping up, but it feels like it just popped up, and therefore man feels Hashem. Mm-hmm. He feels God's presence. I hope I did it justice, but that's basically what he's saying in the next two paragraphs. And he says, even though he keeps using the term, it's based on a mistake. It's not real. So turning the page, that's... I'll just read the top of the other side, Kuf Yadalid. Hashem set up the nature, the system, the science of the moon, that it sometimes hides, right? It disappears. I'm on top of Kufya Dalet now. It's if you don't have it, it's on the back of this. So that his creatures, so man, will be able to recognize Hashem's presence based on their mistake and their superficial view of things. See, what he means, he doesn't mean you should be simple. He just means that feelings are not based on reality. In the scientific reality, you can be an expert and know how to calculate it. But the way it feels when you look up and you see the moon, it feels like, just like we put many things in the way they feel. We talk about sunrise. Sun didn't rise, the earth turned. But it's sunrise, so many things, that's the feeling of it. In fact, Torah speaks in those terms. So it's the same thing here. Next paragraph, Mahusa shel chachma hu or. The essence of chachma is light. V'or ein biyacholta lahafoch tchunosav shel adam l'shanosam. Light does not have the ability to turn around, to switch the characteristics of man. B'chidei lahakir, in order to, hakir usually translated as recognize, but he means to feel. In order for man to feel, tzarich emtzoim acherim lagamri. You absolutely need other media. Okay? It's a feeling. I mean, if you stand next to a mountain, I can know the science of, yeah, there's two continental plates or something like that. But you stand next to a mountain, it's impressive. Science aside, there's a feeling there. Feelings are not based on chachma. She'enim b'skulas ha-chachma. You need other means, other media to affect man that are not chachma. Chachma is light. The neshama needs chachma. You need to blend chachma with experience, but chachma alone doesn't do it. Here's another example he gives. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Shuv Yom Echad Lefnei Mitzvah. Okay, the big paragraph on page Kuf Yudal. There's a famous mission in Pirkei Avos. Rabbi Eliezer told his Talmidim, do tshuva one day before you die. Okay? Now, the Gemara has an elaboration on this. Some of the Gemara cites a more elaborate quote. So in the Gemara, we have that his students responded. Amru lo Talmidav. So his students said, Rabbeinu, our master, v'chi adam yodev eza yom yomos. What kind of directive is that? Do tshuva the day before you die. Does a man know when he'll die? Amar lahem kol shekein yoshev hayom shem yomos lamachar. Ah, so good. So he should do tshuva today because maybe he'll die tomorrow. V'nimtza kol yomav b'tshuva. It'll turn out that all of his days are in tshuva because every day he's concerned. Gemara Masechet Shabbos, again elaborating on, or citing a more expanded version of the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. So the Mashkiach understands this differently from the way I had my whole life. I thought he was saying something like as a quip, expecting you're going to ask the question, and then what emerges is what he really meant to say. Do tshuva the day before you die. But I don't know what I'm going to say. Good, I meant do tshuva every day. As if what he really meant to say was do tshuva every day. The Mashkiach says that's not the way to read a Gemara. It's not the way to read a Mishnah. Well, let's see what he says. Ulachara, at first blush, apparently, Ein kol ha-masa u-matan bazem muvan lanu kol ikar. We don't understand the whole back and forth. Masa u-matan means give and take. It means back and forth. We don't understand the whole thing. Demach hidish lahem Rabbi Elazar. What did Rabbi Elazar tell them new by saying she'en yom ha-misa yadua? The person's, his time is not known. U'mat tofsu heim al dvarav. What were they asking? V'chein lama lo bir tekev dvarav kol tzarkav. And why didn't he just explain himself from the beginning? I mean, what kind of a statement is that? To say something, then you have to ask an obvious question, then you reformulate it. V'hamis bonin, one who contemplates, misgala lo sod godol v'rum, shegila lana rablozabuzah. He said, if you really contemplate it, he says, if you really read this correctly and honestly, he revealed a big secret here. Shuv yom echad lefnei misascha. Do tshuva one day before your death. In order for man to be roused, to come to tshuva and good deeds, tzarech shatispa'al, that same word, hispa'al, tzarech shatispa'al nafsho, ad kidezeh, he needs his soul, himself, to be moved to this degree. It's not easy to rouse a person to change. V'ha'em tzoy ha'yachidi, l'hispa'alus ha'nefesh, the singular, the sole medium for rousing a person, who she yishanin tamid inyan zeh, is that he should constantly, yishanin means like to say over, this thing, shuv yom echad lefnei misascha, to say that statement to himself, do tshuva one day before you die, mibli shum hisponanus ve'iyun, without any contemplation and analysis, rak machshava shitchis shebeshitchis, rather the most superficial thought, shetach is surface, so shitchi means superficial. Al v'yishanana v'yishagra tamid al yishano. But he should say it over and have it fluent always on his tongue. Shuv yom echad lefnei misascha. Do tshuva one day before you die. Yom Echad, one day, Mihu HaRasha V'Aposheya Shelo Yirtza Lashu Birgar Ma'achrona Mechayev. Who, what kind of a Rasha wouldn't want to do, wouldn't want to fix things up? He knows he's dying tomorrow. Excuse me, who wouldn't want to do tshuva? Mihu Zeh Shelo Yis'or B'tshuva V'Eish Shamavis Merachif Nega. Who is this who wouldn't do tshuva when death is hovering right before him? Uveshanein Ha'adam La'atzma Tomet Inyan Zem Iblishi Yikanis B'chakiros. And by man, just saying this, thinking this, it means it almost like a mantra, without getting into chakiras, means analyses, of what's the analysis? V'chi adam yodeya be'eza yom yamos? And then the answer, v'kol shekei yashavim. In other words, what he's saying is, Rebbe Elazar didn't want to get into that question and answer. He's almost saying Musar is a feeling that's supposed to be so superficial that it shouldn't get into chachma at all. Person has this feeling, do tshuva one day before you die. So he's picturing one day before you die, tshuva. But then he starts thinking, you kill it. The Mishka says, wait a minute, but nobody knows when they're going to die. Oh, stop it. Now you're asking questions already. And that's what he's saying is, that is what Musar is. It's the feeling without getting into, but wait a minute, how do I really apply that? Because we don't know when that is. Oh, well then, so do it every day. Oh, you killed it. You killed it. Now you're getting kashas and terutzim, questions and answers. It's just the feeling of tshuva one day before death. That shakes a person. Once you start asking, wait a minute, how do I apply that? When is that? Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I guess you do tshuva every day because it's a suffix, because it's a doubt. You don't know. That ruins it already. So that's why Rebbe Elazar didn't say it that way, because he meant the feeling. It's like the shock effect of tshuva yom echad lefnei misascha. And that really, this is the statement of what Musar is. It's Chachma doesn't do it. Sometimes you need outside of Chachma. It's a feeling. As he's going to say, really, that's what all of Maaseh Mitzvahs are. We do things. Okay? I was just talking to the boys in school today. When you start Shemona Esrei, you take 3 steps forward. Where are you going? So I'm standing here, and now I'm standing here. We need physical action. Really, what you're doing is you're stepping into the Kodesh HaKadosh, in the Holy of Holies, but not physically. We're not in Yerushalayim. We're not but in your mind, in your neshama, you're supposed to be stepping in. So we do a physical action to bring it along. But what are you doing? Where are you going? So you're here, and then you're a foot forward. But we need physical actions. The whole Seder, you're eating matzah, and it's bitter. It started off a little sweet, but then it got bitter, just like in Mitzrayim. But then there's the celebration, there's the Karban Pesach, there's the cups and the leaning. What are you doing? I can read about it. I have to do it. I know it already. I learned the whole Pesachim, you know. But the answer is no, because experience is not the same thing as chachma. Therefore, afilu kulanu chachamim, kulanu vayim, we're all big chachamim. That doesn't obviate the need to actually have experience. The Mashgiach says it's like a davar poshut. He says, what do you mean you're asking a question? Why so? The answer is because this is not about chachma. It's not about knowing the Gemara about the Seder by heart. It's about feeling it. And feeling doesn't come from knowing. Okay, and he's saying that's what Rebbe Elazar means here. That's why he phrased it the way he did. Miblishum sechel v'chachma, without any sechel, without chachma, rak b'shitchi yislava, just with superficiality. Ayidei zeh ma'at ma'at tispol nasha. By way of this, bit by bit, his soul will be affected. And you'll recall even when we were learning from Rav Kook, he said how people think in Musa that the concepts are simple, so they read it once. All right, I saw it, like, I got it. I'm going on. I want to learn something else now. Because of that, we don't really relish it and don't delve into it. The idea of Musar, one of the things that the Baalei Musar established, which is part of what became controversial, because some people viewed it as something new, was to take a mantra and, you know, take a Maamar Chazal and say it again and again and sing it, you know, and really, and that's what they're doing. Just take just the simple meaning of it, not a deep question and an answer, and there's a proof from here, and it's just simple. The opposite of what you're doing till then when you're learning Gemara, you're learning something complicated. Just to have the idea really penetrate, affect him, not so much in chacham, just in feeling.
Excuse me, Rabbi, so how is this superficial? I'm trying to follow that train of thought.
Because it what he means is it's a feeling. It's not something intellectually complex. In other words, if I'm learning the Gemara about the four cups, and I see that this one holds, there's a concept of chayrus in it. Does it have to be alcoholic because of that? What if you did it without leaning? A proof from here, a proof from there. This one seems to have this concept. When you have to say the Haggadah over the matzah, is that because matzah needs Haggadah or Haggadah needs... There's all kind of what we call like lumdish learning, where you're trying to classify things in halacha, and it's complicated, and it introduces new concepts. Or even in Haggadah, new concepts. What element of emunah are we really trying to prove here? And so, and then there's, no, nothing new. Just the thing you know already, but have it affect. It's an emotion. It's a feeling. So it's superficial in the sense that intellectually it's not deep. Everything you're going to know an hour from now, you know now. Maseilas Yesharim writes on the first page, I wrote this book not to tell people anything they don't already know. Which in my case, told me many things they don't know, but he meant it, people know this, but the idea of the book is to make it hit home. That's really what Musar is. And what he's saying, what he keeps emphasizing, this is a rule, and trust me, if you don't feel it, just do it anyway, is that Chachma alone doesn't make it work. It takes the actions of mitzvahs, it takes experience, it takes feeling. And he says the Seder is one big exercise in feeling it, not just knowing it. That's so it's superficial in the sense that it's not to learn something new.
So it's taking the statement at face value.
It's, yeah, feeling it. It's an emotion. It's an experience rather than an intellectual awareness. Yeah.
Thank you.
And that's a very fascinating. I had never thought of understanding this idea with Rabbi Elazar that way. But he says that's what he meant. To say something that obviously, if you're going to analyze it intellectually, there's a question on it that needs an answer, and therefore you'd have to reformulate it. But I don't want to get into that. I just want to state it the way that has the greatest effect. He gives an example. The Torah sometimes does this. The Torah presents things in a certain way, even though based on Chachma we know it's not really the way it was. The Torah makes it sound like Terach died before his son Avraham left him. When really, if you calculate the years, which are all given in the Torah, you can see that he was alive for a long time after Avraham left. The Torah doesn't want to make it look like Avraham Avinu left his father alone in his old age. Like the feeling of something, even though if in truth it was something else, but it's the feeling we should have for Avraham Avinu. Bottom last two lines on Kuf Yadalad. B'makom Acher Be'arnu, elsewhere we explain, Shekol Yisod Yitzias Mitzrayim V'Yotzi Mizeh, the whole foundation of Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus, and what's supposed to emerge from it, Humash Amru B'Mishnah, is what the rabbi said in the Mishnah, Chayiv Adam Liros Es Atzmo K'ilu Hu Yatzim Mitzrayim, a man has to see himself as if he left Egypt. Shetachlus Yitzias Mitzrayim, the whole goal of it is Sheha Adam Atzmo Ye'osem Yotzim Mitzrayim, the man himself, you see he emphasizes this, should become like one of those who left Egypt. Ulechora Ech Boyim L'Dei Dargazu. And at first blush, so I ask a question. How do you reach that? He answers in the next paragraph. Ha'odam yidama bilvav, a man thinks in his heart, shemasigim zos ayidei hisbonenus, umachshava, that you come to it by thought. Ayidei limud besifrei mechkar v'hisbonenus, by studying the svarim that analyze it, read the Chumash with the commentaries about Yetzias Mitzrayim, read Haggadah with commentaries. That's all good. Bive'ilu lahotzi, by thinking about if we hadn't left, what would have been, which is a statement we make in the Haggadah. V'ayidei machshavos elu, odom maskil machkem achu margish es atzmo kilu yatzim Mitzrayim. Man thinks by thinking about these things, he'll feel it. Abel, he makes a strong statement here. Avol ve'emes hachoshiv came, but in truth, one who thinks that, hinhu amaretz gamor bedarkei achinuch. He's a total ignoramus. Amaretz is an ignoramus in the ways of chinuch. Shehu sover, because he thinks, shayadei chochma yechanech es talmidav. He thinks that training, education, is from chochma alone. Not true. Chanoch lenar al pidarko gam kiyazkin liyasrimana, famous pasuk in Mishlei, educate the lad based on his way, and then even when he gets older, he won't stray from it. Ein mechanchen es ha'adam al yidei chachma, rak al pidarko. Different way of looking at this pasuk. What does the verse say? Train the child based on his way. The Mashkiach is looking at what it doesn't say. It doesn't say train the child based on wisdom. It says train him based on his way, al pidarko. Then he'll never stray from it. I already spoke about earlier that there's a lot to be said for experiences from our earliest age and what effect it has on us. Okay. Good. All right, then the next paragraph it talks about how we had spoken about baking matzah, and if a person has the experience of engaging in making matzahs, baking matzahs, he says, you just feel it's something from out of this world. It's not this world, and you'll recall, I read it to you last time, it really appears in the next mimer. He shows how if the exercise of getting rid of chametz is getting rid of the Yetzer Hara, leaven, rising symbolizes haughtiness, and therefore keeping it out and getting rid of it is getting rid of the Yetzer Hara. So the Mashgiach says, think about what a matzah is then. A matzah is when you've done the whole process so thoroughly that now it's immune to the Yetzer Hara. That's what a matzah is. He says that in the next mimer. So when you're eating matzah, it's like something from the world to come. It's like we've already been through all that hard work of getting rid of the Yetzer Hara, not letting the Yetzer Hara in, and being swift and being diligent and keeping that dough moving and cold and so it doesn't rise. But now you baked it, and now it's free of any risk. That's why he says matzah is like from out of this world. It's from like the Yemos HaMashiach, the Messianic time. So he says a person but to feel it, you have to do these things. That's the yesod that he says here, and he says that's why the Haggadah requires so much action. We're drinking four cups, we're eating matzah, we're eating maror, we're being told to visualize it. It's all for the experience and not just the intellect. So that's all that you have on the sheets. I didn't want to make a whole pack about it. I want to share with you, he continues on this theme. The next day of Pesach, he spoke more about it, and he quoted a teaching of Chazal that's very worthwhile to know. The Bali Musar speak about it a lot. I remember Roselig Epstein speaking about this Gemara. There is a Gemara in Maseches Yuma, Samach Tes in Maseches Yuma, that says, the men of the great assembly, they were the ones who instituted our prayers, our siddur as we have it. Why are they called great? Because they return the crown back to its glory. Why? Because we say in our Shemona Esrei, Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibur, Vahanora. God who is great, and mighty, and awesome. So what that refers to is because Moshe Rabbeinu had used those terms, called Hashem, Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibur, Vahanora. Then if you look in the book of Yirmiyahu, book of Jeremiah, Yirmiyahu didn't say the word Nora. When he prays Hashem, he says, Hakel, Hagadol HaGibor. There's a pasuk to that effect. So the Gemara, in elaborating on that, says Yirmiyahu saw, look what's happening to the Beis HaMikdash, look what the defiling of his temple. Where's awesomeness? I don't see awesome. So he didn't say it. Daniel said, look at the way his children are enslaved. He didn't say Gibor. This is the Gibor, he's the mighty one. Look what's happening to his own people. Where's Gibor? But the Anshek Nesagdola came along and said, no, but the fact that the Klal Yisrael is still here after all this time and still committed to Hashem after this time, Hein Hein Nora Oso, Hein, that is the greatest sign of strength, of might, and of awesomeness. But that now the Gemara ends off with a line. And it said, so how did Yirmiyahu and Daniel say what they said? What does that mean? Moshe Rabbeinu says he's Gibor Nora. We know Hashem is Gibor Nora. And Yirmiyahu Hanavi deletes it. Daniel deletes Gibor. So the Gemara ends with the following words. Mitoch sheyodim ba'kadosh baruch hu she'amitihu. Since they knew that God is true, lefikach lo kizvu bo. Therefore they weren't deceitful to him. Because they knew God is true, they would not be deceitful to him. Mashgiach elaborates on that. Other Svarim do as well. What does that mean? It means when they said a praise of Hashem, they had to say what they felt, not what they knew. Yirmiyahu HaNavi certainly knew Hashem is Gadol Gibor Nora. He certainly trusted in the view of Moshe Rabbeinu. He knew it anyway, that Hashem is Gibor Nora. But I'm looking at the world now. I don't see his noros. I don't see his awesomeness. I believe it, and I know it, but I don't feel it, or don't feel it enough to be able to say it. When they said something, they said what they felt. I'm remembering The Maharal talks about the Gemara, where one of the rabbis of the Gemara was teaching the last parak of Sanhedrin, parak Chelek, and he said, all right, tomorrow we're going to talk about the kings who have no share in the world to come, and he like mocked them a little bit. One of them was King Menashe. So that night, King Menashe came to him in a dream and said, you're mocking me? Let me ask you, Shiloh, where, when you make hamotzi, where should you cut the bread from? He said, I don't know. Tell me and I'll say it over in Shir in your name tomorrow. So he told him, you cut it from where the bread is most baked or started to bake. There's two different versions in the Gemara. And I said in Shul recently, I told him what he meant by that and how it symbolizes why of all things that I'll just mention as an aside. The Maharsha explains, bread is the only thing where we say hamotzi. Even other food products where it takes some of man's involvement, we don't say hamotzi. We say bori mine mezonos. Bori pri hagafen. Certainly bori pri etz, bori pri adama, but all those things, even though wine requires some processing, we just say bori. Motzi is you get it out. Hamotzi lechem in haaretz. He says it's because when man sinned, God said, that's it, no more easy food for you. It used to be all the food came ready-made off the trees or grew that way. Now man has too much free time and he does a sin. Now you're going to have to work, keep you out of trouble. By the sweat of your brow, you'll eat bread. So really, at that point, he could have made it impossible for man to get what he needs. But because Adam does tshuva, so Hashem says, all right, you'll have to work harder, but you'll be able to produce bread. So bread symbolizes tshuva. So Menashe was trying to hint that he did tshuva for his averus. That's one way of understanding the Gemara. But in any event, the Maharal, commenting on this Gemara, says, what does it mean? I'm forgetting now who it was. Was it Rav Ashi? I think it was Rav Ashi. One of the great rabbis of the Gemara didn't know a halacha. You know, he didn't know the halacha. And he says, no, when they Paskinson, they had to feel it. He had to feel it. Like, of course, this is where you cut it. If they're, what we call today, Das Torah told them, well, it has to be like this, then they could say it. But otherwise, he couldn't Paskin this. So the Maharal says that whatever they said in learning, it was because they knew it to be so. They felt it to be so. So this Gemara and Yuma also, Yirmiyahu HaNavi couldn't say in davening what he didn't feel. That's called lying to Hashem, even though he knows it's true. But God is absolute truth. He only say what you really feel. And if he didn't feel it, he couldn't say it. The Anshei Knesset Gedolah could even feel it. They felt Hashem is here. Even that's the whole idea of the Purim story. Even when he's hidden, we feel he's here. This happened at the time of Purim. So the Mashgiach says that theme is very relevant to what we're talking about here as well. And that is that you have to feel. The whole idea of Avodas Hashem is feeling something. It's not just knowing it to be so, but rather it is feeling it to be so as well.
So isn't that a shortcoming of Daniel and of Yirmiyahu, that they can't, that even, you know, with all their nevuah, that they couldn't muster it up inside of them to recognize that the state that Hashem had created was representative of what it was that they left down in describing him?
You know, the shortcomings and the shortcomings. I don't think we can begin to relate to the level they're talking about. I think most of the things that we have are just in Emuna. They're talking about like really feeling Hashem's Gvura when the Beis HaMikdash is being destroyed or when the Jewish people are being afflicted. Yeah, it takes a very, very great person. Anshei Knesset Gedolah were able to bring the feeling back. I gave a shiur in shul before Purim and Erev Purim about the Sfarim that read deeper meanings in the Megillah say that if you look at the Targum, when Esther says, if it'll be good for you, the king, she's not talking to Ahasuerus, she's talking to Hashem. But in the first party, she was talking to Ahasuerus. The first time around, she didn't feel Hashem there. Does she believe in Hashem? We're talking about Esther HaMalka, we're talking about Mordechai, these are great people. They believe Hashem, but they didn't feel it. Then after they had been davening and fasting, and after Hashem shows a little bit of a ray of light that Haman's getting a little bit of trouble, it's getting garbage dumped on his head, and Mordechai's getting, She felt Hashem. So even though she's standing in front of Achashverosh, she doesn't know he could say off with her head in a second. The last queen didn't do so well. But now, even in that dark moment, and even when there's a threat against men, women, and children, she feels Hashem right there. So to have a real feeling that when she's talking to Achashverosh, she's not even talking to him, she's talking to Hashem, that it's the level of actually feeling it. So, yeah, the Gemara at some level is saying that Yirmiyahu didn't feel it, and Daniel didn't feel it, but I wouldn't call it the biggest criticism, but at some level, it's a madriga they didn't reach. Just mention one more example, the Mashgiach quotes much later. The Gemara that talks about going out to greet the Shabbos Malkasa, right? And the whole minhag that developed in Tzvas afterward of going out. You can see today the square, right? But where they go out and our minhag of Kabbalah Shabbos is based on that. We actually turn around and face the back of the shul. But it's all based on a Gemara. The Gemara says that Rabbi Hanina said, come, let us go out and greet the Shabbos queen. And Rabbi Yana used to put on his talus and go out and do that. The Mashgiach writes, this is much later, it's on page Kuf Lamed in the Sefer. The Rishayim will all mock and scoff. You have to realize he's also writing a time when Haskalah is very strong. Haskalah is all intellectual. No feeling, no... So people will mock and say, hey, what are you doing? Like Shabbos is out in the field. Who exactly are you greeting out there? That's where Shabbos comes in. It walks in this way. I turned around in the shul. The Shabbos came into Bala Kimmet through by the exit sign in the Young Israel the main line. What are you doing? What's the kind of Shabbos? Shabbos is not a physical thing. You're turning around. Shabbos is all to sit in your house. That all comes from not understanding what the world of ma'aseh, the world of action is. It's chachma. The malachim live in a different realm, but we live in a physical, material world where there are things, and there's action, things that have to be done. She'ilu yadu ve'evinu yisod zeh, lo haya makam l'machshavtam. So if they really understood what olam ha-ma'aseh means, ayom la'asosam, Chazal say, today, meaning in this world, to do them, we have mitzvahs that we have to do. Loha midrash ikar el hamasa, the learning is not the main thing, it's the doing. If they would understand that, they would know that they're totally missing the boat. It's not something to make fun of. Our obligation is to do. So therefore, to sum it all up, the Mashgiach says that's really what the Seder is about. In order to create the feeling of indebtedness that Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus, is supposed to create, and to feel that at the Seder, we have to engage in action and activity, and it's therefore, it's not only about the Chachma. Of course, telling the story and the deeper level things that we talk about and understanding the halachas and how they work, that's all very important. But says the Mashgiach, it's really an exercise in feeling a debt of gratitude, and that only comes from doing all of the actions of the Seder. So that's something to think about. Again, many Svarim emphasize Emunah, and that's worthy in its own right. The Seder is when you sit down and you pass on from one generation to the next what happened. This is our tradition. It goes all the way back to Har Sinai into the Exodus. But it's also a time to feel a personal debt, and feeling that personal debt to Hashem comes from feeling, not just from Chachma. Okay?
Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.